Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Amongst Friends, where the conversation is definitely for the grown and sexy. Tonight, we are going to be talking about the sex isn't good and I want to break up or I want a divorce. Should I divorce or should I cheat? I'm Joey, and I'm joined tonight with Heather, Deidre, and my man Jeff. And we are here to give y'all the Amongst Friends grown and sexy conversation. But, of course, before we jump into our main topic tonight, we want to give y'all some current events. And Heather brought to my attention something that is very shocking while we were on the phone just waiting to talk to you guys about here in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area about a well-known pastor who was fired today and escorted out of his own church by the police. So we just wanted to talk about that hot topic or current event before we jump into tonight's topic. But we also want you guys to know that we do not want to do all the talking. We don't want you guys to just to listen, but we want you to participate. And you can call in with your questions, your comments, or your concerns at 760-683-2662. So, Heather, give us an update of exactly what happened. Although
you
I already
me
just
to give
kinda...
you an update. No, I think, you know, well, recent, as of today, Pastor Joel Peoples was fired from his position as pastor at Jericho City of Praise and was asked to leave the premises and... he wasn't allowed to take anything with him outside of cell phones, iPads, and he was told that everything would be sent to him and then told that he was no longer a member of the church.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
And so
how
this
you just
comes,
gonna kick? Go ahead.
Yeah, how you not a member of the church no more, right? But, I mean, this has been an ongoing battle for the past couple of years between apparently a board of the church. And I'm not necessarily sure if the board, well, I don't think this is a board of the church, whereas we know standard, like a trustee board. I think this is more of a board, corporation board, because, as you know, many people know from this area and particularly that Jericho is not just comprised of the church, but they also have a school, Bible college. What else do they have? Residential areas, a business park. I mean, it's really Apostle Betty Peoples, before she passed away, really had been a very business-savvy woman and had done some great things in the name of the kingdom. And so it is definitely a day that I think none of us have wanted to see or face and which had not come. But since she's been gone to be with the Lord almost 2 years now, they have been in a battle back and forth. And I think that this was precipitated by the fact that Joel released a video on Monday. It's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. Basically speaking out, because up until this point, he has not publicly spoken about you know, what's been going on and about the lawsuits and all of that type of thing. And they're currently in court under appeals, but it was just very sad today to see the police come inside of, you know, basically the church, the place of worship, and tell him he needed to go into a meeting with this board, and that he was terminated and that he was escorted out of that building. And, I mean, you're talking about a building, a church that he was born and raised in, married in, and I'm not on, you know, one side to the other. It just was sad for the kingdom today. It was very sad. And, I mean, people from this area, we know the people's family and the work and the stories that they have been to this area. So it is definitely a sad day to see that take place and then to hear rumor that another pastor from this city would be a part of that and it be handled in this manner is very unfortunate, in my opinion.
Yeah, it definitely was upsetting for me because, you know, just knowing, like, I used to go to the church when it was in D.C. I actually went to school with Pastor Apostle Peoples, her grandsons. I went to elementary school with them when I lived in Maryland, and, like, I went to the church when they first opened the big church and went to different concerts. So it was just very upsetting to see, like, all the, you know, all the news behind it, seeing people, like, hearing about them protesting outside the church, people, like, it was just crazy, like, what was actually going on. Like, they were trying to keep this man not, you know, to me it just felt like no one was really concerned with the fact that he's, you know, this man, this pastor has lost his mother, you know, has lost other family members, like, and now you are challenging whether or not he was fit to lead or, okay, yeah, you can be pastor, but you're not going to get this money. And just hearing all the rumors about, like, a janitor getting paid $50,000 and the trustee and deacon board giving themselves raises. Like, it was just really crazy to hear all that stuff. And I think the hardest part for me to hear was that members were actually, you know, not able to come into the house of God where they've been worshiping for years. You know, they weren't able to come in there and find peace. And to hear, just like you said, Heather, area pastors fighting over not essentially who's going to actually lead these people or who's going to help this pastor, you know, find the protection from these vultures, but rather not who's going to get to suck out the wealth that is involved in that church was very upsetting. And then to hear that the police got involved in this is just really disturbing. And it just,
I think that's, you know, that's like the hardest part. And we must say, and we'll continue to say that, you know, nobody knows all of the details of what's going on, and I don't think in any way we're taking sides. For me, it is a matter, though, of how we handle things and how we do things. And I've never heard or seen of anyone saying throughout this entire, you know, ordeal of him acting unseemly or him behaving in a negative way. And I don't believe in my heart that in any way he would do anything to harm or destroy the witness of that ministry. And so for me, maybe not running the corporation or not having authority over the business, but I do believe there was a standard at Jericho, and he was well aware of that and maintained that in the ministry. And that's what will be important. So, I mean, it's just very sad to see, and you never want it to happen, and you never, I guess for me, the bigger part, being a PK, you never want stuff like that to play out in the media, because then it leaves people who are unchurched, outside of the church, or had a bad experience to further feel justified in negating a relationship with Christ because of the people and the church.
And they say money always shows people's true colors. And you see what you know, I guess we find out what's more important to some people who are in the church. Not even the Christians, but just people who are in the church, like we found out, was more important. Money has the ability to always exploit people's true colors. And at the end of the day, I really do think that this was about money. It wasn't about God. It wasn't about the kingdom. It was about money. And I just feel bad that, you know, Pastor Peebles just had to go through all of this in the midst of losing, like, his mom. Like, I just, that and the members having to go through this, losing such a pinnacle person, you know, such a pinnacle person in their lives. Was just crushing for me, and you know, I didn't hear about the actual what happened until you and I were, you know, till we all were just talking about it on the phone, and I'm just wondering, you know, how the people of the church are reacting to this. I wonder what their reaction has been, and I'm curious about this video as well.
Well, yeah, you can. It's posted on Facebook, and so it's there. It's out there, and I'm sure it's on YouTube by now. And he did about a 20-minute video on Monday, released it, sharing some of the details, saying where they stood, and that was really his first public speaking. I mean, never has he spoke about it, you know, said anything about it in public. So that was that, and I think that this just came on the cusp of that happening and him speaking out and whatever backlash, you know, comes from that. But at the end of the day, I think, like you said, regardless of what is or isn't, I do believe, like you, that, you know, money and power has gotten in the way and blinded people from the right thing to do, because I think even if he's wrong and it is not in his capabilities or abilities to handle the business or, you know, something of that nature, I just think there's a better way to do it. And I think that when we step outside of doing things the right way, in a way that is both loving and winning for all parties involved, then I think we create a bigger problem. And this is something that I think will smear not just them, not just that church, but the kingdom as a whole. And that's the unfortunate thing for me. It's like, you know, why do we get so caught up in these kinds of issues and debates with one another if we really want to say it's about souls and it's about ministry? How do we get caught in these traps? But I definitely think that he should not be fighting people who are not related to him for his mother's jewelry and for her clothes and for her coats and access to her home.
Yeah.
If the church or the ministry owns the home, then give them 30 days to get the stuff out of there. Like, to me, that's the part that, you know, makes it cruddy.
Wait. So y'all are saying that the church owns her house?
They're saying that they, well, what he is essentially saying at this point is that they had her sign when she was in failing health. He was her power of attorney. She had a will and everything. A new will superseding that will and a power of attorney, all these different papers were signed, and he believes that they had her sign them when she was not in her right frame of mind, or she was too ill to understand what she was signing. And basically, people on this board and people who are not family members basically got more stuff than her grandchildren and her fur coats, her Rolex watches, her clothes, her furnishings were left to people that aren't family members. And for me, if this is about... I very much feel like, you know, if she didn't want him to have it, then he shouldn't have it. But if he's saying, I want it, and I'm not her biological child, I'm not a family member, give it to him. Like, what is the burden in you turning over a watch? What's the burden in you giving him some couches and some chairs, or at least access to her home? Why does he have to call the police for y'all to let him in her house? Like, to me, and they're saying that she signed this and this is how she wanted it, and I can't imagine, not saying that it's not true, but I can't imagine that being the case.
Wow.
But on the flip side, you know, he said he went 5 months and trying to see her and trying to do stuff, and essentially he's saying that, you know, they kidnapped her and kept her away from him.
Wow.
That she was put in the hospital under an alias name. He couldn't find her. She had been in ICU for 5 weeks. I mean, so there are a lot of accusations flying that, you know, just nobody is really justified here. It's just like a mess. And it shouldn't be. It doesn't have to be. Like, somebody can give in and make things right.
Wow.
That's sad.
So,
you're just as confused as I am, sister.
Well, I'm confused in the respect that why was she a part of the board when she created the board? And if she was a part of the board, then why wasn't her son a part of the board? I'm not understanding the dynamic.
Well, that's the whole dynamic. Because the dynamic of it is that this board and all of the makeup and the creation of all of this is supposedly something that happened while she was ill. From his explanation, when you see his video, what he says is 2003, she's diagnosed with cancer. She goes through all of the treatments, has the surgery, and gets better and returns to the church in 2004, like October, late 2004. In the summer of 2005, she goes to the doctor, and they say the cancer has come back. And she says, I don't want to fight it. Well, she ends up living to, like, January of 2011, wasn't it, Joey?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so she ends up living another 5 years. And over this period of time, her health deteriorates, but the last time she was even at the church was in 2009, according to her son, because she had been so sick. And so his account of the events is that they were giving her paperwork, and her trusting them, she was signing it, not really knowing what she was signing. Like, there's one document that she signed that said she was an employee of Jericho and that she could be terminated after she got out of the hospital that last time.
Wow. And we have Jay from D.C. on the line.
Great. Hi, Jay.
Well, at least that's the text message I got.
Okay, well, hopefully Jay,
are you there? Yeah, but go ahead, Heather, what was you saying?
So, you know, his account of it is that over this period of time, they have her signing things, and honest to goodness, you should read things before you sign them. But I know professionally how many times I've set paperwork before presidents and said, I need you to put your signature on this. And there was a trust factor there.
And if
I hand you a piece of paper and I say, Joey, this is the stuff for the radio show, you need to sign where these little tabs are, you trusting me very well, you know what I'm saying? When it's that kind
right.
of a relationship, you would sign it, trusting
especially,
that it's fine and it's okay.
Especially when you're sick and you just like, man, these people,
yeah.
they under the guise, they're taking care of me, you know, they're trying to take care of my legacy and what I built. Hey, I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to sign it because I know they wouldn't do this to me or how they're wording it to me sounds good. And at the end of the day, I just want to lay down because I'm nauseous, because I'm sick, and I'm just tired.
Yeah, and trust me, my conversation is not to say that maybe the way things are is just how she wanted it, because that's fine. That's fine, too, if that's how she wanted it. But at the end of the day, how that's carried out, I think, needs to be a different way and a better way. Because what I can say is it sounded very strange coming out of his mouth that he hadn't seen his mother for 5 months, and we live in the same city.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, I'm not going to knock on my mother's door, and my key don't no longer work. Oh, by the end of whatever point in time I started knocking and calling and I didn't get her, by the end of day two or three, I'm calling the police or I'm setting it on fire. And that means me, you, her, and it going to go down. So
okay.
5 months of you not seeing or talking to your mother, something strange with that.
Right. Something is strange with that. However, Jay from D.C., your mic is now on. Do you have a question or a comment? All right. Where's
Jay? I guess he's not on the line. So, yeah, so, I mean, let's just, you know, and I know what everybody wants to say. You just need to pray. Listen.
Okay.
I'm sure God done got more than enough of them prayers today. But I just wish we would do better in the kingdom. That's all. A little bit better.
Definitely.
Somebody would say, you... tell my boo I'm not going to burn nothing down.
No, but... I agree with you. I think for me, what has just become a big blur in as the church becomes more and more modernized and we move further into the future, is just the lines of what is kingdom work and what is business oriented have become very blurred. And this is just it's a very sad example. Because you go to that church and the word was there and the faithfulness and they had business ventures. I don't think it's anything wrong with churches having assets and you know, making money in that aspect. But it's like, but where's the money going? Who is it enriching? Who is it empowering? Who is it helping? You know. And
well, this is what you're sure to know and to find out. But what you're sure to find out is that, you know, now that he is no longer the target, of their affections, it is going to be a very unique situation to see how this plays out as who's going to take the authority and the role.
Mm-hmm.
In leading the people, in leading the ministry. You know what I'm saying? Like how that
the
decision...
The one with the highest bid.
Well,
the one
I'm
with
thinking
the
local
bid.
Pastor that is involved will show his face in some way or another.
Is there someone actually in mind that y'all have heard about?
There is a local pastor who is involved and is leading the board.
Hold up. There's another pastor on the board. Was he an associate minister?
He has his own church here. And apparently Betty Apostle Peebles signed a paperwork putting him in charge and him in charge of the board.
Is this public knowledge?
Yes.
Okay,
and today,
so who is
when
this
they
person?
I refuse to do that. I will text you. And this is why I say that, because I know rightfully so that... You know, we should not talk against anyone, say anything negative about one another, and definitely not God-sent man or woman. I know that mentally. and in my heart. However, I have my personal opinion about him that was established long before today. Mm-hmm. And so to hear his name as a part of this gives more grandeur to my opinion and my feelings towards him. And although I believe in the, you know, some of the things that he has done, you know, on a, you know, just in a giving and through missions and things like that, but I find it very self-glorifying. And so that's why I don't choose. To say his name, because, and I do know that there are listeners who are members of his church and who really appreciate him and applaud him, and I'm not saying that there's no good in him, but I do believe that as another pastor, as another PK, that there just should be some different behavior. There should be a different standard. There should be a different way even if Pastor Peoples went in there and said, I'm not leaving and I'm staying here and I'm going to preach, and I was on that side of the fence as the person in charge saying, no, but your mother didn't want you here, da-da-da-da-da. Whatever we had to do so it was not in the media and in the public court and in social court, I would do that. I would extend the olive branch over and over. I mean, it's just customary. It's just like an unspoken rule in church amongst PKs and, you know, just the way things operate, it's very different. And so for him to be a part of it, in any way to be linked with it, and it be this kind of messiness and foolishness, just makes it very strange for me. And the last thing that you hear Joel Peoples saying on the tape is, they say he's on the phone and he wants to have a conference call, and so he says, I'm not taking any conference calls, and so the attorney says, well, I'll go get on the call, and he says, sort of like in an under-his-breath tone, oh, it's him. Yeah, he's always wanted this church, and so now he gets to get it, Godson.
Mm.
And he called the police and said, don't let him take it. See, for me, if he needed to be escorted out of there, that's fine. PG, please, can y'all stand here and make sure he doesn't erase anything off the computers? He doesn't take any files that belong to the ministry. But his personal effects, he can't take his pictures off his desk. He can't take his plaques off his wall. To me, I have a problem with that. At least the government give you a little box and a bag and let you grab your stuff under supervision.
Yeah, with HR following you around.
Yeah, but he had to get his keys, iPad, and cell phones, and that's it. Not a tablet. It's right there on the tape. Not nothing.
That's so sad.
So, you know, it's like, oh. So that was the current event for today.
I wish we could have got what that caller was going to say, but we transition over to tonight's topic, which is the sex isn't good and I want to break up or I want a divorce. Should I divorce or should I stay? And I think it's important to kind of talk about this because I know people think, oh, man, them grown and sexy people always talk about sex. Sex, 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 sex. And as we've established before on this show, sex is awesome. I don't know why people don't like talk about it, why they're embarrassed about it, but it is. But what happens when sex, whether good or bad, becomes the priority, becomes the main priority in a relationship? And what happens when it's not a priority? These are the things that, I think it's important for us to talk about, especially if we're going to be a radio show, if we're going to be a community of online listeners, to talk about, you know, what if you are presented with the different reasons for breakups and divorce, you know, we kind of think it's crazy or we kind of think it's unheard of. If someone is saying, I want to break up out of my relationship, because not because they're cheating, not because they don't take care of home, not because they don't communicate with me, but the sex is bad. The sex is horrible. It's horrendous. I don't enjoy it at all. And this is male or female. And they say, look, and I want to move on. I want a divorce if they're married. Or they say, okay, I don't want to lose the benefits of this relationship. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to start over. I don't want to be single. But I think I'm just going to cheat and I'll, you know.
Hello?
Amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy. We will discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Amongst Friends. This is Patrice Reynolds. Your host tonight is going to be Deidre Robertson,